Think about those times, when you're facing a big decision, maybe picking a job or deciding on an investment.
Right, where the outcome isn't guaranteed.
Exactly. We all deal with that uncertainty, that risk.
Yeah.
And how we handle it, well, it often comes down to our personal feeling about risk.
And economists, they've been trying to figure that out for ages. You know, what makes someone jump in versus hang back?
And one way they do this is by giving people choices.
Yeah, usually a series of choices. Pick between something safer and something, well, riskier. It helps map out your comfort zone with risk.
Okay, so that brings us to today's deep dive. We're looking at some brand new research, actually just published today, April 24th, 2025. It's in the Journal of Risk and Uncertainty, and the title is Visual Formats in Risk Preference Elicitation: What Catches the Eye?
And what's really cool here, I think, is they didn't just look at the final choice someone made.
Yeah.
They used eye tracking, so fancy tech, to see exactly where people were looking while they were making the decision.
Wow, okay. So seeing the process, not just the result.
Precisely. They combine the usual choice stuff with this eye tracking data to ask, does how we show these risky choices visually actually change things, like what you choose or even just what you pay attention to?
Gotcha. So for you listening, maybe you've felt that paralysis when facing a risky choice. Our mission today is to explore if these visual cues matter and what our eyes can reveal about our own decision-making under risk. Let's get into it.
Okay, so before we jump into their experiment, it probably helps to understand the standard way researchers try to measure risk preference. A really common tool is the multiple price list, MPL for short.
MPL. Okay, sounds a bit technical. Can you break that down for
Sure
us?
thing. Imagine you've got a list, right? Row after row.
Okay.
And in each row, you have to pick option A or option B. Lottery A, lottery B.
Simple choice.
Simple choice, yeah. But as you go down the rows, something changes. Either the chances of winning change or the actual amounts you could win change.
Ah, so it gets progressively different.
Exactly. And by seeing where you switch, maybe you start picking A, the safer one, then at some point switch to B, the riskier one. Researchers get a pretty good idea of how comfortable you are with risk.
I see. It finds your tipping point, sort of. And this study used two specific types of these MPLs.
That's right. Two well-known ones. First is the Holton-Lowry task, often just called HL.
HL, got it.
In the HL task, the money you could win stays the same, fixed amounts, but the probabilities, the odds of winning those amounts, they change from row to row.
Okay, so that one's all about how sensitive we are to changes in likelihood.
You got it. Helps understand how we weigh probabilities. Then there's the second one, the Dricciotti's and Lusk task, the DL task.
DL, and that one.
It flips it. In the DL task, the probabilities are constant, same odds all the way down. But the money, the payoffs, they change.
So this one gets more at how much we value the potential reward itself.
Exactly. It helps measure our underlying utility for money, how much value we get from different amounts.
Interesting. So two different angles, tweaking odds, tweaking rewards to understand risk preference. But you mentioned these MPLs aren't perfect. The paper brought up some issues.
Yeah, they did. The researchers acknowledged that, just how you present the list visually might sway people's choices sometimes, the format itself. Plus, you can get inconsistent choices. Someone picks safe, then risky, then oops, back to safe again, which makes interpreting their true preference a bit tricky.
Right, that makes sense. If it's confusing or people just zone out, the answers might not be totally reliable. So, how did this study tackle that visual presentation issue?
Well, they designed this experiment using a between subject approach,
Meaning.
meaning different people saw different things. They randomly put participants into one of four groups. Each group only saw the lottery choices presented in one specific visual style.
Four different styles for the same basic choices. What do they look like?
Okay, so group one got text only, just the numbers, the probabilities, the amounts, like a standard MPL. That
Yeah.
was their control, their baseline.
Standard approach. Okay. What about the others?
Group two saw a format with emphasis on probabilities. They used these horizontal bars, and the height of the bar showed the probability. Taller bar, higher chance.
Ah, so you could visually see the likelihood. Makes it maybe more intuitive.
Maybe, yeah. Then group three got emphasis on monetary amounts. Same idea, horizontal bars, but this time the width of the bar represented the payout size. Wider bar, more money.
So your eye might be drawn to the size of the prize instead. Makes sense. And the last group.
The fourth format emphasized both. So the bars changed in height for probability and width for the amount.
Whoa, okay. both dimensions changing.
Yeah, and what's neat is that the area of that bar ended up representing the expected value, kind of a visual summary of the whole gamble.
That's clever. A visual shortcut to the potential value. Now, they didn't just see what people picked in these formats, they also used that eye-tracking tech you mentioned.
Exactly. They used a Tobii TX300 eye tracker. Super precise bit of kit. It tracks exactly where your gaze is on the screen, like 120 times every second. Really accurate.
Wow. 120 times a second. That's a lot of data. So they could literally see the eye movements as people were deciding. But how do you translate eye movements into, you know, understanding the decision?
Good question. They defined specific areas of interest, AOIs, on the screen.
Like boxes around key info.
Pretty much. A box around the probability for lottery A, another for the amount in lottery B, one for the graphical bar itself, stuff like that. Then they measured dwell time.
How long they looked.
Exactly. How many milliseconds someone spent looking inside each of those boxes. This tells you how much visual attention they paid to the odds versus the payoffs versus the graph. It gives you insight into the process, you know, not just the final click.
Right, right. The how, not just the what's. So what did they find? Where were people looking?
Well, one really consistent finding across all the different visual formats and both tasks was that people spent significantly more time looking at the monetary amounts compared to the probabilities or the graphical bars.
Huh. So the potential prize money really grabs our attention, regardless of how likely it is.
Seems that way, generally. But there was a difference between the two tasks, the HL and the DL.
Okay.
Remember, in the DL task, the amounts were changing row by row.
Right, the money was variable.
Well, in that task, people spent even more time looking at the amounts compared to the HL task, where the amounts were fixed.
Okay.
And conversely, they spent less time looking at the probabilities in that DL task, because the probabilities were the things staying the same.
That makes perfect sense. Your eyes track what's changing, what's new for each decision. What about that crossover pattern the paper mentioned?
Yeah, that was interesting. They saw that early in the list of choices, people tended to look more at lottery A.
The safer one, usually.
Typically, yeah. But as they moved down the list and lottery B started to look relatively better, maybe higher payout for not much more risk, their visual attention shifted. They started spending more time looking at lottery B.
So our eyes almost lead the way, shifting focus just before we shift our choice.
It looks a bit like that, yeah. The attention shift mirrored the typical choice pattern of switching from safe to risky.
Fascinating. And did attention change over the course of a single task?
It did. In the HL task, where amounts were fixed, attention to those amounts tended to decrease over time. Maybe people just learned, okay, that number isn't changing.
Makes sense.
But in the DL task, where amounts increased attention to the amounts actually increased over time, people looked more and more at the growing prizes.
And the opposite for probabilities.
Exactly. Attention to probabilities tended to decrease over time in the DL task where they were fixed. So again, attention adapts to what's actually varying.
Okay, so the visuals definitely guide attention, and attention follows what's changing. But the big question, did these different visual formats actually change people's risk preferences? Did emphasizing probabilities make them more cautious, or emphasizing amounts make them bolder?
And this is probably the most surprising finding, actually. No. The different visual formats, text, probability focus, amount focus, both, they did not significantly change the estimated risk preference parameters.
Seriously, all that visual difference, and it didn't change how much risk people were ultimately willing to take.
Pretty much. Whether they use standard models like expected utility theory or more complex ones like rank-dependent utility that account for how we perceive probabilities, the underlying risk preference measure stayed remarkably stable across the formats.
Wow. Okay, so maybe our core risk tolerance is like more robust than we think, less easily swayed by presentation.
That's what this suggests. But, and this is a bit, but the eye-tracking data itself was still incredibly valuable.
How so? If it didn't change the preference level.
Well, the eye tracking data was related to those preference parameters. And even more importantly, including the eye tracking data in their statistical models actually changed their conclusions about which underlying decision theory best explained people's choices.
Whoa. Okay, unpack that. How did looking at eye movements change the story about why people chose what they chose?
Right. So, for example, they found that people who spent more time looking at lottery A, the safer bet, generally showed higher levels of risk aversion in some models.
Okay. That makes intuitive sense.
And the difference in attention between lottery B and lottery A was a significant predictor of the actual choice. But the crucial part is this. Without the eye tracking data, the researchers might have just looked at the choices and concluded, Okay. Expected utility theory fits pretty well.
The simpler, more traditional model.
Exactly. But when they added the attention data, it sometimes revealed that rank-dependent utility, which allows for those quirks in how we perceive probabilities, was actually a better fit for the combined choice and attention patterns.
So the eye tracking added a layer of detail that helped them pick the right explanation for the behavior. That's powerful.
It really is. It shows that looking at the process can refine our understanding of the outcome and the theories behind it.
The study also mentioned something about visual inattention, people just not looking.
Yeah, they looked at that too. They defined total inattention as basically not looking at any of the key info probabilities or amounts for either lottery in a given choice, just looking elsewhere, maybe.
Okay. And partial intention?
Partial inattention was more specific, like
Yeah.
not looking at the probabilities in the HL task where probabilities were key, or not looking at the amounts in the DL task where amounts were key, ignoring the changing variable, essentially.
Got it. And did this happen much?
They found total inattention increased a bit as people got further into the tasks, especially in the HL task and particularly for Lottery A. Partial inattention was actually more common than total inattention, again, often for Lottery A.
So maybe people kind of figured out the safer option early on and didn't need to scrutinize it as much later.
Could be. But the main point here was that even when they accounted for these moments of inattention in their analysis, the core findings didn't change.
Ah, so the results are robust. The stability of preferences across formats and the importance of attention data still held up?
Exactly. And one last thing they did was test how well their models predicted choices on new data.
Out of sample prediction, right? Like a real-world test for the model.
Precisely. They built models using data from one set of participants and tested them on a completely different set. And guess what?
Let me guess. The models with eye tracking data did better.
You got it. Those models that included the visual attention information were consistently better at predicting the choices people would make on unseen data. It really reinforces the idea that attention data adds real predictive power.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up for everyone listening. What are the big takeaways here?
Well, I think the headline is kind of twofold. First, how risk is presented visually does affect where you look. Your attention follows what's changing, the shifting odds, the growing rewards. That part seems clear.
Our eyes are drawn to the action.
Right. But second, and maybe more surprisingly, your underlying preference for risk seems pretty stable, regardless of those visual formats. Emphasizing probabilities or amounts didn't fundamentally change how risk-averse or risk-seeking people were estimated to be.
Okay, so our core risk setting isn't easily fiddled with just by changing the display, but the attention data is still super important.
Absolutely. Because even if the level of risk preference doesn't change, where we look gives us vital clues about the decision process. It helps refine those economic theories, like showing when something like rank-dependent utility might be a better explanation than standard expected utility. It just gives a richer, more complete picture of decision-making under uncertainty.
This really makes you think, doesn't it? Like the next time you're looking at, say, investment options or comparing insurance plans, maybe pause and notice, what am I actually looking at most? Is it the potential gain, the fee structure, the probability of some bad outcome?
Exactly. Could understanding your own visual habits, where your attention naturally gravitates, help you make a more balanced or informed choice? It's a fascinating question to ask yourself.
Definitely something to mull over.
Yeah.
And this deep dive, I mean, we've covered the key points, but the original paper has way more detail on the stats and models naturally.
Oh, for sure. If this stuff interests you, looking up the Journal of Risk and Uncertainty article is the way to go. And maybe exploring those concepts, expected utility, rank-dependent utility could be interesting too. It also makes you think more broadly about information design everywhere, right?
Right.
Financial stuff, health warnings. How are they trying to guide our focus?
Absolutely. Well, keep diving deeper, everyone. Understanding how our minds work with information, especially when things are uncertain, it's a constant learning process. Really appreciate you breaking this down for us.
My pleasure. Always interesting stuff.